Hi, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I know this isn't always an easy topic, and I really appreciate your time and openness. As mentioned, this conversation is part of a larger piece I'm writing on the Medicare therapy session cap and how it impacts real people accessing care. Everything you share will be anonymized unless you say otherwise, and you're free to skip any question or stop the interview at any time. Let's start with a bit of background, if that's okay. To begin, I'd love to understand how your journey with Better Access started. So could you tell me a little bit about when and why you first sought mental health support under Better Access?
Thank you for having me. So I started therapy in early 2024, which is my second year of uni. And it wasn't my first time thinking about getting help, but it was the first time that I felt like I could actually use it. So I moved to Australia in 2021, just after the pandemic, and for a while, I was just focused on settling in, you know, navigating university, housing, visas. So I grew up in an environment where mental health wasn't really talked about. And even now, like, my parents don't even see it as something that deserves professional attention. So for a long time, I internalized that. But by around 2024, I was really struggling. You know, I had anxiety, burnout, some depressive symptoms. A friend encouraged me to speak to my GP, and that's when I was introduced to Better Access.
Thank you so much for answering that. So what was the process like for obtaining a mental health treatment plan through your GP? Were you informed from the beginning that Medicare would only subsidize a limited number of sessions?
The GP appointment was helpful, but also overwhelming. My GP was kind and professional. Like, she listened to me and suggested a mental health treatment plan, which was pretty straightforward to get, but it also felt like a bit of a relief to have a formal pathway. And, you know, when she gave me like a list of local psychologists, but I was pretty confused when she mentioned the 10 session cap. Like, I remember feeling a pit in my stomach. It was like, okay, I'm allowed to heal, but only in these pre-approved increments for some reason. Like, it was weird. There wasn't really an explanation of why the cap existed as well, or how to navigate therapy around it. Just like, you get 10 sessions and then we reassess and then we expect you to be fine. So I think for someone already feeling quite vulnerable, it actually you know, unintentionally adds a layer of stress or like urgency.
Thanks for sharing that. Now I just wanted to ask you about your experience once you began therapy, especially about how the cap shaped your care. So as you got closer to the 10 session limit, how did that impact your sessions or, you know, sense of being supported in recovery?
Yeah, it absolutely shaped my experience. As the sessions went on, I started feeling a lot of pressure, like the clock was ticking, like I had to, at every session, figure something out instead of just, like, focus on my healing. So I found myself thinking about how many sessions I had left. Like, my psychologist was amazing, but even she said, I wish we had more time to unpack everything. So there's only so much you can dig into only 10 sessions when you're dealing with trauma or anxiety or burnout, like I've previously mentioned. And we try to be strategic, but again, like, by focusing on the most pressing issues. But obviously healing doesn't work that way. You know, instead of feeling like I had time to heal, I felt like I had to make every moment count, which is a lot more pressure when you're already vulnerable.
And in hindsight, do you feel like 10 sessions were enough to address your needs? Because clearly with your response, it felt otherwise, no?
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, not even close. I feel like I was only just beginning to peel back the layers when the session...
So, in hindsight, do you then feel like 10 sessions were already enough to address your needs? Because from what I understand, you kind of insinuated that, no, it didn't.
Yeah, well, absolutely not. Like, they didn't address my needs, like, not even close. I feel like I was only just beginning to peel back the layers when the sessions...
So, in hindsight, do you then feel that 10 sessions were enough to address your needs? Because from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like, no, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, honestly, absolutely not, like, not even close. I was starting to understand my triggers and what was contributing to my anxiety and how my past experiences were affecting me, but only with 10 sessions. There was literally no time to dig deeper into the root causes of my mental health issues. The 10 sessions barely scratched the surface. The process of healing isn't linear, you know, it's long term. So by the time that I hit the cap, I felt like I had done all the initial work, but I haven't been, you know, given the actual tools to truly address everything I was dealing with. In hindsight, I think I could have used at least another 10 sessions, but unfortunately, when you're on a limited budget and it's literally either pay out of pocket or stop having sessions altogether, there's really not much choice at all. I just didn't have the resources to keep going.
Thank you so much for that response. Now, let's talk about personal impact, you know, financially and emotionally, that the cap may have created. Once you reach a limit, what options were available to continue therapy?
Once I hit the 10 session limit, I was given two options. I could either continue at my own expense or stop altogether. At the time, I was already living on a really tight budget. Like, I was covering all my expenses and didn't have financial support from my family. My parents don't really understand the need for mental health treatment, as I've already said. So I literally couldn't afford to keep going privately, even though I felt like I was really far from being, healed after just 10 sessions. So I actually ended up stopping, and, the thought of going without therapy was terrifying. It felt like I was genuinely just, like, giving up on my mental health recovery, and I didn't know what I would do if I went down a spiral again.
Did the cost of continuing care impact you? Yeah, that must have been really confronting to deal with. On a more emotional level, what did it feel like to know you had a limited time of sessions? Did it affect your sense of self-worth or feeling deserving of care?
Emotionally, it was definitely overwhelming. The closer I got to 10 sessions, the more I felt like I was running out of time, as I've said. It made me question whether I was truly deserving of care, definitely. Again, growing up in a family where mental health wasn't acknowledged, I had internalized that it wasn't okay to need help. It became like this constant internal battle. Do I keep asking for help, or am I being a burden? Again, knowing there was a cap on how many times I could go to therapy made me feel like I was being told, you've had enough now, you don't deserve more. And, you know, that's a heavy thing to feel when you're already struggling.
And just zooming out, I'd like to ask about your thoughts on the system as a whole. What do you see as the biggest flaw or limitation in the current Medicare model?
Yeah, definitely. So the biggest flaw is, the assumption that all mental health needs can be addressed with just 10 sessions, pretty much. Like, it ignores how complex mental health issues can be. When you're dealing with trauma, ongoing anxiety, or depression, simply put, 10 sessions are not enough. Recovery is a long-term process that requires consistent care. And by limiting the sessions, the government is saying that people who need more help are not as worthy of care as others. That's not fair. And it's probably extremely damaging to individuals, and it needs to change.
And do you think the system better supports some diagnoses than others? Because, for example, people with eating disorders can access up to 40 sessions a year instead of 10. Is that something you were made aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. When I found out that people with eating disorders can access up to 40 sessions, I understand why they have 40 sessions, but I still felt quite angry. Not at them specifically, but just at the inconsistency of, like, government support. Like, why is their pain seen as not more deserving, but just as something that required like literally more care, as I said. So like PTSD and bipolar disorder and depression, they don't just like disappear after 10 sessions, you know, same way as an eating disorder. So in my view, these conditions are all equally complex, and the system simply doesn't recognize that. It creates inequality for individuals who need an equal amount of support and who have needs that have to be addressed as much as one another.
Definitely. And just lastly, if your psychologist had been allowed to recommend more sessions based on clinical need without the extra red tape, would that have changed your experience?
Yeah, it genuinely would have made all the difference. Like, I would still be going now if I could, but, you know, and if my psychologist had been able to extend my care based on how I was progressing, it would have taken so much pressure on me. Like, I would have been able to actually focus on university, and it would have allowed me to continue working on myself, you know, without the constant worry of the sessions running out and without, like, putting pressure on myself to figure everything out because I had limited help. So I trust my psychologist and I trust her judgment on when I need more support as well. You know, I think she would know a lot better than me. And if she had the flexibility to extend my sessions, I definitely think it would have changed my experience completely. I do not believe that she would have just let me have 10 sessions. She would have let me have more.
Well, that's all the questions I had. I can't thank you enough for your time and honesty.
Sure.
Your insights definitely added a much needed human voice to this issue, and I believe it'll help people feel seen. And who knows, maybe spark a change.
I hope so.
And I will keep you informed if you'd like to read the final article. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.